that we started last week called Reliance. It's a matter of trust. And we're looking at how essential trusting God is now more than ever and in all circumstances. And our scripture reference has been and will be Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." The word trust is defined by Webster as the reliance on the integrity, the strength, the ability, and the surety of a person or a thing. It's a confident expectation of something good. It's one upon which a person relies. And last week I talked about how that trust really boils down to one thing, and that is obedience. And how that trust and obedience go hand in hand. And I went over five things that would help you to develop trust in God through obedience. And let's do a quick review to kind of get you up to speed to where we are today. The first point was that trusting in God is believing even when you don't see it. How that often when God calls you to do something, it can be difficult moving forward by noticing the obvious things that are within your sight, when really you must equally move forward in faith, motivated by those things that you have not yet seen, but yet have been promised to you. Number two was trusting in God is obeying even when you don't understand. Taking a leap of faith, even when it doesn't make total sense to you. Number three was trusting in God is giving what you don't want to lose. And I mentioned how it might be perhaps through your giving of your stewardship, your finances, where God is really going to teach you to trust Him. Or perhaps God may be calling you in your life to give up something that has been a regular part of your life, but yet an unproductive part of your life. And as hard as it can be, you realize that God has a plan and that you've got to be willing to cast all of that aside in order for Him to fully work on your behalf. Number four is trusting God is thanking Him even before you receive it. Just like we did this morning as we prayed for Tanner. Thanking God after the fact is called gratitude, and gratitude is important. But thanking Him beforehand is an exclamation of faith. It's thanking God before you even see the answer to that prayer, even before there's evidence of God moving on your behalf. And then the fifth point was trusting God is believing you are deserving of His best. And I reminded you of how you do not earn God's favor. It comes with your decision to follow Christ, and how that there are enormous blessings and provision and answers ready and waiting for those who will dare to fully trust Him. And you may say, well, Pastor David, those points that you made last week are all good and fine, but getting to that point is truly the most difficult thing for me. I'm not even sure where God is leading me, or that I would even know if He was leading me in my life. Well, believe me when I tell you I completely understand that sentiment. You see, I have found many people never get into the habit of seeking God's direction in their life. Yes, they've received salvation. Yes, they love the Lord, but they've never really begun to exercise this essential element to the Christian walk. So today I want to talk about specifically trusting God for guidance. Because the truth is, we face a lot of forks in the road through our life, don't we? Decisions that need to be made, risks that need to be taken, life-altering circumstances that have to be responded to, and sometimes out of fear, sometimes out of a lack of understanding, sometimes out of a lack of receiving God's given direction, we become paralyzed. And many stand still, and they do nothing. And this is why seeking God for His guidance is such a vital part of the Christian life. But I fear that for many, the norm tends to be self-reliance, and not total reliance upon God. Because it can become very easy in this life to run solo, to be a one-man show, to never seek guidance from God. And many have gotten in such a pattern of doing this, making every decision based upon what they think is right, that the whole idea of seeking, the whole idea of receiving God's direction is a completely foreign concept. But you know, as Christ followers, if our desire is in fact to become more Christ-like, how is that ever going to happen if we don't seek Christ in our daily walk? God wants to play a part in your decisions. He wants to play a part in your relationships, in your career, in your business, in your family. He wants to give you sound guidance and direction, and He will, if in fact you will seek Him. But what the breakdown usually occurs when we start to infuse our own agenda and not God's divine direction. And what's interesting is, as believers in Christ, whenever we make a big decision, a change of direction in our life that other people notice, we always feel this need to put a spiritual spin on it. Even when we didn't consult God about it. I've heard people say, well, you know, God is leading me, or God made it clear that this is the way I should go. When they never really did consult God, they just made a decision. God was never a part of it. But to give it credibility, we tack on His name. And if you've never been guilty of this in your own life, then I'm sure you've all heard someone at some point say, God told me to do this, and you fill in the blank. We have people being killed all over the world because people said God told them to do it. You know, when you hear these things, you say to yourself, something's not right. And your little antenna kind of comes up on your head. Because truthfully, we have all heard some pretty bizarre things attributed to God, haven't we? Some pretty crazy things. They've been erroneously attributed to God. Some of what you hear doesn't even line up with Scripture. That's your first mark of knowing that it's not right, if it doesn't line up with Scripture. But yet, people say it, and people make life-altering decisions based on things that aren't even lining up with the Word. Another common thing you hear in church circles is people making a major life decision based upon receiving a word from someone else. They've heard what was presented and received as a prophetic word. And let me start by saying, I believe wholeheartedly in the prophetic word. One was spoken over me as a young man that came completely true, and it was very, very specific. But having said this, let me also say to you, be very careful who you receive a prophetic word from, as well as the content within it. We all, as believers in Christ, must ask for spiritual discernment in our Christian walk daily. I've heard some of the most generic prophetic words given to people that could apply to just about anyone or anything in that room at the time. In biblical days, we read about God's prophets who spoke to rulers and leaders and people of God, and they were very specific. And in those days, if a prophet wasn't being led by God and he was wrong, he would be stoned to death. But we don't have to face that kind of scrutiny today. And so therefore, there's a lot of self-proclaimed prophets and prophetesses running around there, providing very vague, very general prophecies, lacking any specifics or any details. And let me say again, you have to use your spiritual discernment whenever you receive a word from anyone. Does it line up with God's word? That's number one. Does it really apply to your situation in a very clear way? If it doesn't, don't make any life-changing decisions based upon a word that someone gives you. You see, when God gives you a prophetic word through another person, it will be specific and it will not be abstract. You won't need to look at it from every possible angle and manipulate it to try to make it fit your particular situation. It will be very clear in how it's presented. It will be very clear in how you understand it. And it will confirm something that God has already been dealing with you about. It is simply a confirmation of what He's been dealing with you in your spirit. Well, then you see those who have legitimately received clear direction from God in a situation. They're obedient to God and they begin to follow His calling. But shortly thereafter, they begin to add things to God's plan. Ideas from within their flesh, things that they have conceived, alterations that they insist are from God. The original plan was perfect, but now they've so altered it through their own personal desires that looks nothing like the original. And because it looks nothing like the original, God cannot move forward with any kind of great effectiveness, because the person has really gotten in the way of God. They've become the bottleneck. They've become the obstacle of God doing what He really wants to do. And sadly, that's going to put you in some kind of a holding pattern. That is, until they allow God to do what He does best. And that is to guide and to direct and to anoint the work that He has clearly called you to do. Now, I share those things with you this morning as examples because it leads us to the million-dollar question. And that is this: how do we know when God is speaking to us and giving us direction? How do I know if it is God or if it's my human desires? How do I know if it is God or my emotions or my feelings? How do I know if it is God, or as a friend of mine said, or the pizza that I ate last night? This is a big issue within the church. And I can't tell you how many times people come to me as a pastor in the time that I've been in the ministry and ask me for clarification. Basically, what is God telling me to do here? The truth is, nobody but you and God know the answer to that question. Don't ask me to tell you what to do in your life. You have to seek God to find out what it is. If God has placed it within you, only you can decipher and determine if it is God or if it is certainly, or if it is simply your own personal desires. And as I said before, it is wrong for us to take our own desires and to attach a God told me approach to it when he clearly didn't. But please remember something very, very important this morning, and it is this. God does want to guide you in your daily life. He longs for you to be so completely trustworthy of him that you actively seek his divine direction every moment of every day. He wants to be a part of your thoughts. He wants to be a part of your plans. He wants to be a part of your relationships, your decisions, your dreams, and he will guide you. And the scriptures make this very clear. In Isaiah 58:11, it says, "The Lord will guide you continually." And in Psalm 32:8, and this is just two of hundreds, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." But the trust part that we're focusing on throughout this series is that once he reveals something to you, you need to trust him that he's going to see it through. So this morning I want to talk about how we receive guidance from God. And we're going to look at three different topics this morning. We're going to look at first the conditions required for God's guidance. Secondly, the methods that God uses in providing his guidance. And thirdly, the characteristics of those methods that he uses. You see, first, I believe there are conditions that we must meet if we truly want God-given guidance in our life. And I want to go over those with you this morning. And condition number one is, you must ask for it. Psalm 25:4-5 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait on all the day." In that scripture, David is asking God for direction. He's asking him for guidance. You see, in order to receive God's guidance, you need to ask for it. In James 4:2, it says, "You do not have because you do not ask," right? And this doesn't simply apply to objects or things or possessions. It clearly applies to God's direction in your life. And unfortunately, many believers miss this essential step. We get so wrapped up doing our own thing and making plans and decisions without God that we forget to ask him. We forget to invite him to be a part of the equation in the first place. Let me ask you this morning, when was the last time you asked God for guidance in a decision that you needed to make? Did you ask him before you signed the lease on that new apartment or that new home that you're renting? Did you seek him before you purchased that new home or that investment property that you bought? Did you ask him before making a decision to buy that new car? Did you ask him when you decided to quit a perfectly good job to take on another one that appeared to be a better opportunity for you? Did you ask God before you accepted that date proposal, young ladies? Better yet, did you seek God before you said yes and decided to be engaged to this individual? Did you seek him before you decided to go back to school and start an entirely new career change? We all need to exercise our trust muscles by asking God in guidance in all things, whether they be big or small. And it should come as naturally to us as any other part of our Christian walk. And truthfully, if you are making life-changing decisions without seeking God, I would say that you're missing out on one of the most essential elements of your Christian walk, period. You can't possibly mature in your faith until you learn to understand God's direction, seek it, and apply it, and follow it in your life. That is ground zero. That is where trust is really nurtured and where it's developed. Condition number two, you got to have the right heart. You cannot live on the fringe of a relationship with Christ and expect to receive God's fully clear and concise guidance in your life. And truthfully, if you are casually living for God, you're probably not in a position to be thinking about his guidance in the first place, because he's not a profound, important part enough of your life. And this is exactly how so many people get in the habit of living life by trusting their own instincts, their own gut feeling, what they think is right, following their own agenda. And that's the way it usually goes. That is until a major trauma, a major event, a major decision comes along. And that's usually what it takes to trigger something within us to finally say, "Okay, God, now I'm going to seek you in this one, because this one's a little bit above my pay grade," I think our president said once. You know, because it can get scary making those decisions. And this is when we finally decide to seek God, to ask him for his direction, to be a part of our life. But this is a flawed approach. We should be asking him daily in our prayer time. What I'm trying to say to you is this: if you are living a life that is far away from God, you can't possibly expect immediate guidance or an answer from Him. And if you did, you're probably not in the position to recognize His guidance in the first place. That's why it's important that we have an ongoing, devoted, dedicated walk with Christ that is a daily part of our life. If you are living life far away from God, how could you even discern His direction if He granted it to you? You know, if you'll read many of the Psalms written by David, you'll see a pattern of repentance in his prayer. And it is clear that he has a desire that there be nothing standing between him and God. David has learned in order to receive God's favor, in order to receive His guidance, in order to receive His strength, he needs a life dedicated to the one who provides all of those things. And you see, I believe that when we have a calloused attitude regarding unconfessed sin in our life, it creates a barrier between us and God. And I think King David realized this as well. That same unconfessed sin can also make us unable to discern His direction. In other words, when your conscience is clear, when there is no sin to cloud things between you and God, that's when you will become able to discern God's direction. That's why it's essential to live a life in touch with God, fully engaged with Him daily. So if you truly want God-given guidance in your life, like you say you do, then live your life daily honoring God. Condition number three, you must be obedient. And I realize this was the theme of last week, but it cries to be mentioned again. Have you ever asked for, received, and discerned God's guidance, and yet completely gone in the other direction? I bet if you were honest, you would say yes. Many do. Many do when what they hear is not fitting in well with their life plan. Let's face it, we don't always want to know what God expects of us. Many Christians fear that His guidance may require something of them, something greater than they might want to pay. For some, it's a higher price than they're willing to pay. And what's interesting about this is any initial price that you might pay through obedience to God's plan will be minimal compared to the blessings that will flow once you get out of God's way and you are obedient to what He's asked you to do. It is true. Sometimes obedience will cost you something. God may be asking you to give up some things that you're just not willing to give up. You can't see past the initial sacrifice to the tremendous blessing that He has in store for you. And many times you just can't bring yourself to the point of trusting Him enough to see those blessings occur if you would have just stuck to the plan and given Him time. And sadly, many people run away. And that's what I did. I talked to you last week about what a mess I was and how God saved me. But you have to understand that God called me into the ministry when I was a teenager first. But I didn't want to do it. I didn't believe that I measured up. The whole idea scared me to death. I didn't think I had what it took to be in the ministry. And truthfully, I had other plans. And I ran to avoid God's plan, which I know He was very sure about. And I continued with my plan, which was a huge mistake. And eventually, guilt-ridden and knowing that I was not in God's will, I began to medicate my guilt with sin. I went off the deep end. And eventually, I walked away from my relationship with Christ, and He was nothing more than a swear word that I would hear spoken or occasionally come out of my own mouth. And sadly, through a series of events and decisions, my life fell apart, and I was a train wreck. A large percentage of my early adult life is but a blur to me now, as I sank deep into sin and I bottomed out. But God is faithful. God is faithful that He never let go of me, and He never let go of His plan for my life. It took me getting out of His way. It took me turning my life over to Him and trusting Him completely in all things. Because what He had planned for my life was irrevocable. It was His plan for my life. And though I delayed His plan, and though I got in the way of His plan, God's plan still prevailed. I often wonder what I might have been able to accomplish for the kingdom of God in those years if I'd have fully obeyed God and not gone off the deep end like I did and answered God's call. I probably missed out on some incredible experiences, some incredible blessings in my life. But you know what? It doesn't matter now because God is so faithful that now every day I experience both of those. Time and time again. See, it's important to note that God doesn't give us direction. He doesn't give us answers to simply satisfy our curiosity. So my point is, if you're going to ask him, you better be serious about what he's going to tell you in return. He provides both direction and answers so that we'll act upon them, because they are God ordained. His plan is always perfect, yet we shortchange ourselves from due to a lack of trust in God. We shortchange ourselves from God's best because we lack trust. The truth is, we shouldn't even ask for guidance unless and until we are willing to act upon the guidance that he gives us. God does not direct the proud or the haughty, those who believe they've got it all figured out. Those aren't the kind of people that God is going to direct. He is going to promise that to those who humble themselves before him, those who are willing to do it his way. And if you humble yourself before God and you ask him and you trust him, he will direct you in the way you should go. And his direction, guess what, is always spot on. And it's always exactly what you need. And you can never go wrong when you pursue his plan. Well, those are some of the conditions that I wanted to talk about receiving God's guidance. But I want to secondly talk about the methods that God uses with guidance. There are many. And certainly this is not an exhaustive list, but these are some very essentially important ones and ones that have been a part of my life. And I want to first talk about that inner voice. I'm not talking about that audible voice that says, David, take that new job. Lo, I'll be with you always. You know, like some burning bush experience, though there are many people who've said they've literally heard a voice. That's never happened to me. I'm talking about impressions in your spirit that don't leave you. It can be hard to explain what they are, but the best way I can explain it is that you have a sense that God is clearly trying to tell you something. You just can't shake these impressions. They hang on to you. They cling on to you. They are constant. They are specific. And they are very clear. And this is the part that can become so tricky, because our mind plays games with us and we say, is this God or is this me? One thing that I have learned in my life is whenever it is me, my plans will change and they will always be modified through my own feelings and through my own emotions. And as time goes by, the plan gets altered and it evolves. See, the Word of God tells us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he does not change. And I have learned that his direction, though never always filled with exacting specifics, doesn't change. He knows that once we are obedient to his plan, it is only then when it takes on a life and it starts to move forward. It grows and it evolves in his way. Don't ever discount that inner voice. Don't ever discount it. Some call it your conscience. Some call it intuition. But make no mistake about it, it is the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Another method that God uses to give us direction in our life is through the Bible. I have a pastor friend who any new assignment he has ever taken on for churches that were in need, and he felt God's calling was based upon a scripture. God had always provided a specific scripture that he stood upon to confirm God's leading. He can share a specific scripture with you for all of the three moves that he has made in his long career as a pastor. In fact, he will never make a move until, as his words are, I haven't received a word yet from God. Now, seldom will there be an exact verse in the Bible that will pertain to your specific situation, because there's so many cultural differences. But there will be parallels to your situation in the Word. There will be promises for your situation in the Word of God. There will be confidence that will be ignited and sparked within you through the Word. Peace will rest upon your decision through the Word, and revelation will occur through the reading of God's Word to help you move ahead. The Bible is full of direction if you read it and you seek it. So when you have an impression from that inner voice, and then when it secondly aligns with the Word of God, another method that God uses to bring guidance to us is through circumstances. And this is when we talk about doors opening and doors closing for you. This is when things come together to make it a reality, or the wheels fall completely off of it to make it an impossibility. And the trick here within our humanity is not to orchestrate in our flesh the opportunity, or conversely, the collapse. Because we can sometimes fabricate an open door for our own means. And on the other end of the spectrum, we can sabotage or manipulate a door to close if we so desire. We utilize these things as a way not to follow through with the clear God-given direction that He's given us. And sometimes during this process, we can become so impatient that we walk through what we perceived to be an open door by God that was never opened by Him in the first place. Because we think we know exactly how God is going to work in our life, and that will get you into trouble. Because God has never worked in my life in a way that I ever figured out. And every time I look back on it, I just scratch my head and I say, "You are amazing, God, because that is an angle, that is an approach that I would have never thought about." And then what happens? We jump through the first door that opens, never intended to go through it in the first place. On the other hand, we can have a door open for us, clearly by God, but because of our indecision, because of our lack of trust, it closes due to our inaction. So any door that opens must line up with these other things that we have discussed. I love this quote. There's a book by F.B. Meyers called The Secret of Guidance, and this is a quote in his book. It says, "God's impressions within and His word without are always collaborated by His providence around. We should quietly wait until these three focus onto one point. If you do not know what you ought to do, stand until you do. When the time comes for action, circumstances like glowworms will sparkle along your path. You will become so sure that you are right when God's three witnesses concur." And those three witnesses, he says, are impressions, God's word, and God's providence. Another way that God guides us is through godly counsel, through other people. And I'm not talking about receiving counsel from people who have a superficial relationship with God. I'm talking about the stalwarts, the warriors of the faith, those who know Him, those who know Him well, those who have experienced Him and are continuing to experience His direction and His growth in their life. It could be an elder of this church, or some lay leader. It could be an intercessor. It could be a prayer warrior, a pastor. Whatever form they come in, they are in touch and they are in tune with God. And confirmation can be given through these individuals. They may not have a clue what you are going through specifically, but they will have a word so powerful and so relevant for you and your situation and your decision at hand that it will solidify in your spirit exactly what you're supposed to do. And again, normally you already know that that's what you're supposed to do, but it becomes a confirmation. God uses people. God uses this body to help you. It's called seeking wise counsel, and I believe it is a dying art form within the Church of Jesus Christ. We have generational gaps. And sometimes a young person feels intimidated to ask a senior citizen for their advice, and it should not be that way. I look at some of the stalwarts of the faith in this church, and I know they've lived so much life. They've had so many experiences, so much more than I could ever dream of. And I'm not afraid to go and ask them, "Tell me what you would do. Tell me how you handled this situation. Give me some advice on how I should handle this situation." It is important, and I want to encourage you young people. Don't ever be afraid to go to your elders. They are a wealth of information. They've walked this walk of Christianity much longer than you have. They've experienced a lot of things. And don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone and make yourself available to the wealth of wisdom and knowledge that is in this room. Amen? So, okay, Pastor David, you've just wrapped it all up in a pretty little package, and I'm clear without question or without concern. I get it. I know how to receive God's direction, and I know that's not the case. I know that's not the case. I'm simply attempting to give you an understanding on how God gives us direction, and furthermore, to develop the kind of trust that once that direction is given, you have the faith to step out in action, that God is pursuing you, and you say, "Okay, I submit. I will do what you've called me to do." You know, so let's say God has called you to do something. Let's say He's called you to do something that's out of the ordinary, out of your comfort zone. He's pursuing you. Or you are clearly at a decision-making point in your life and you're seeking God's guidance and you want to make a proper decision. I want to go back to that inner voice that I talked about earlier, what we know to be the Holy Spirit. You see, this is where it almost always begins with me. Without fail. As I said earlier, you need to make sure that that inner voice is God and not you. So I want to spend some time and I want to elaborate on the characteristics of that inner voice to help you. And one of the characteristics that you will find within the Holy Spirit, that inner voice, is that it carries weight. Whatever is spoken to you, it carries weight. It will not be a wimpy, it will not be an uncertain voice. It will have authority and it will have conviction to it. In Matthew chapter 7, you can read how amazed the people were with Jesus' authority. And it wasn't just the believers, it was the non-believers. And they weren't impressed with him like they were the leaders of the Jewish law. They understood that he had true authority from Father God in heaven. So they recognized his authority. And likewise, that voice that speaks to you, that inner voice, will have that same authority attached to it. E. Stanley Jones wrote, "Perhaps the rough distinction is this. The voice of the subconscious argues with you and tries to convince you. But the inner voice of God does not argue or try to convince you. It just speaks and is in itself authenticating. It has the feel of the voice of God within it." Another characteristic of that inner voice is that it carries peace. God's voice is never anxious. It's never shrilled. And here's a litmus test for you. If you feel God is speaking to you, and it makes you depressed, and it makes you tense, and it makes you anxious, and it makes you all stressed out, it's a good chance it's not from God. God is a God of peace, and he is a God of order. And though while pursuing his call on your life, you may have moments of anxiety, and you may have moments of stress, understand the call will be sure, and it will be convincing. Don't misunderstand me today. At times, God's voice can be challenging as he takes you out of your comfort zone. There's always difficulty whenever we're taken out of our comfort zone, but there will always be a sense of peace about it. Amen? Another characteristic of that inner voice is that it carries consistency. It will never change. The message will be consistent, and it will be something that you just can't shake. It becomes constant, and it doesn't leave you. And it's not only constant, but it is consistent with God's ways. And it will never contradict Scripture. It will never be anything dishonest or shady. And it will never be accomplished at the expense of somebody else. It will always have the right feel to it. And it will always be bathed in love. Because that, ladies and gentlemen, is how our God operates. So let's sum up this whole thing. When the inner voice provides constant and continual impressions, when it carries weight, when it carries peace, when it carries consistency, and that voice or impression is confirmed by and lines up with the Word of God, and while seeking godly counsel, it has been confirmed in your spirit through another, when the circumstances provide an open door for you, and you are sure that that door was opened for you by God, what else do? You pray a little more, and then you step out in faith. And it's the stepping out in faith part that the church suffers from today. You see, the beauty of seeking and receiving God's direction in your life is that it carries such weight, and it comes with such peace, and it comes with such consistency that it becomes easy to trust him and to step into your new decision, your new season, your new life-altering circumstances that you're dealing with. You can do it with complete and total confidence. Always remember this. God will never call you to a place or a position or a circumstance in your life where he will not sustain you. God doesn't take you into the wilderness to drop you off and to leave you. He doesn't. And if it feels that way, he's trying to teach you something through your wilderness experience. It's the way that he operates. Whenever God is involved, wherever God is involved, there will be provision. There will be peace, there will be strength, there will be power in order to accomplish exactly what he's called you to do. And when you see yourself living within all of that, trust in God becomes solidified. And once you have an experience like this, and I know many of you have, you will learn and be all the more likely to trust him in literally every aspect and every decision of your life. I want to mention just one other thing that we all tend to overlook this morning. And this is so basic and this is so simple, and yet if we could learn to apply it to our life, our guidance would be so much easier. It would be so much clearer. And it is Psalm 46:10 where it says, "Be still and know that I am God." We Americans move at such a fast pace, and that includes those of us in this building who profess a relationship with Christ. Sometimes, guys, we just got to slow down. We got to be still. We got to spend some quality time with God, because truthfully, how can we ever hear God at times? How can we even hear him? Don't let your life be so full, so action-packed, that you never have any time to be still before the Lord. You know, our enemy has effectively used relentless scheduling and activities and technology to keep us away from God, to keep us in a holding pattern where we won't grow, where we won't obtain new and fresh revelation in our walk with Christ. How could we anyway? We stay so stinking busy. By the time we do find a window of opportunity to spend with God and we say, okay, God, here I am, we're so tired we can't even keep our eyes open. And we fall asleep. And God is left one more time saying, have a moment with me. Spend some time with me. How sad it must make our Heavenly Father when He wants to guide us in straight paths, and yet we can't find the time to seek or let alone hear His voice. This is probably the most important thing I hope you derive from this message this morning. Slow down. Be still. Learn to listen. Turn off the computer. Turn off the cell phone. Turn off the TV. Turn off the music. Shut down the noise. There's always background noise in this world. Have you ever noticed that? You can't go to a restaurant and even listen to your wife talk to you because the music's blaring so loud in the speaker above you, we can't even hold on a conversation. Don't think that's not on purpose. That is the spirit of the Antichrist alive and well in this world. And he's doing everything he can do to distract you from ever having a special moment with your Creator. Slow down your pursuits. Slow down your conquering. Slow down your obtaining, your possessing, your doing. Slow down enough to give God an opportunity to be the Lord over your plans, to be the Lord over your life, over your decisions, because he will guide you. But you got to tune into his frequency. Amen? Scott, why don't you guys come forward and help me close this down. I want to end this like I did last week. I want to read some words from another old hymnal that I remember when I was a child. It says, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more. Ladies and gentlemen, trust in God is all about obedience. Initially living a life that is obedient to God's word, to his commandments, to his precepts. But obedience goes further than that, in that it requires us to act upon God's guidance once he gives it to us. If you are ever going to attain his purpose and his destiny for your life that he has planned specifically for you, you've got to get to the point of seeking him first. You'll need to seek his voice. No matter what way he communicates it to you, you need to seek it. And ultimately, you'll need to be able to identify it, understand it, and trust in that voice fully. Don't ever get so busy that you eliminate God from giving you guidance and direction in your life. And don't ever get so lazy that you get caught in the trap of receiving your guidance from people because they don't have a clue. They don't know what's going on in your life, and they may not even know your Savior, but yet they're free to give you all kinds of advice on what you should do, and you should shut your ears to what they're going to say, and you should go to God Almighty and say, what is it you would have me do, Father? True guidance comes from God first. Then and only then will confirmation come through other sources, through other people, like we've discussed today. But ultimately, you've got to seek God first. My hope is that you will seek him passionately every day of your life. But even more importantly, that when you trust him for guidance, that you step out in faith and you do the things that he is leading you to do. I'd like to ask you all to stand to your feet with me, if you would. This message today certainly wasn't one of a soul-winning nature. It was designed to open you up to God's guidance and direction in your life. But when we speak about guidance, there's one thing that I know for sure, and that is God will always guide you to his Son, Jesus Christ. It's a no-brainer. It's a given. If you are here this morning, you've been listening to all of this, and honestly, it's all been a bit foreign to you. I understand that. It's okay. Because the kind of direction that you need from God right now is to receive his free gift of salvation, to allow him to be the Lord of your life through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this earth. He died on the cross for your sins, and he died on the cross for my sins, and he rose 3 days later. And in that resurrection power, we are given a new life. And we are also given a power, what is called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when you receive Him, now indwells you, and it gives you the ability to discern things. It gives you the ability to hear God's voice. And you can receive daily guidance, just like I've been talking about this morning, from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that will now indwell you once you ask Him to come into your life. I want to end this service by asking our prayer team to come forward. I know we prayed for a young man today, but I know there are other people out there that have needs. I'd like to ask the team to come across the front of this sanctuary. If you have a need in your life today and you'd like to have someone pray with you about it, I want you to come forward. If you have perhaps received some direction from God and you're not sure and you're scared, you're unsure and you need some wisdom, I want you to come down and let somebody lay hands upon you and pray for you. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you'd like to meet Him today, all you have to do is ask God to forgive you of your sins, to be the Lord of your life. It says in the Word of God, you have to believe and you have to confess with your mouth. And you can do that from your seat, but I know that any of these prayer partners would be thrilled to pray with you and lead you in the prayer of salvation so that you could receive Christ in your life today. So while the worship team sings, I want to ask you to come down. If you have any kind of a need, if you want to be prayed for, please come down and let's pray for you, and then we'll dismiss you shortly thereafter. If you don't come down and pray, whether you stand or you sit, I'd like you to just pray for the individuals that are coming forward here today. Let's not worry about lunch. We'll get to lunch on time. We'll still beat the Baptists today. Don't worry about that. But let's pray for those who are coming forward and have a need. Please come down if you need prayer.